Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, I got a mass email the other day, and so did I don't know how many other people in the region, from something called Husky Friends, which appeared to be from the owners of the Husky Refinery in Superior. It was talking about their community outreach, and it even had a furry Husky dog mascot and a video. Let's hear a part of it.
We here at Husky want to renew our commitment to the community that has given us so much over the years. That's why we've launched Husky Friends, an initiative to offer free products and services that will provide security and peace of mind for you and your family.
So that's from the Husky Friends video, but later in the day, I got another email, as did many others, from Husky's parent company saying none of this was from them. So, Danny, what's going on here?
Yeah, so this group, which calls itself Modest Proposals, posed as Husky Energy rolling out this fake public safety initiative in Superior, and they rolled it out on the four-year anniversary of the Husky oil refinery explosion. And as you remember, the explosion injured dozens of people and forced many people in the city to temporarily evacuate. And so this group offered residents a chance to sign up for alerts about leaks of toxic hydrogen fluoride gas, promising them a compassion kit containing burn cream and a hydrogen fluoride detector. And a Twin Cities resident and member of this group, Jim Hagen, says the hoax was a satirical attempt to highlight the dangers of the chemical because hydrogen fluoride is a highly toxic chemical and it can be hazardous when released. And he said that they feel like Husky Friends is an accurate portrayal of the disregard Cenovus Energy, the new owner of the refinery, have shown for the communities of Superior and Duluth, telling them that this is basically okay to accept that this chemical is being used in their backyard. Husky was bought by Cenovus Energy in a multi-billion dollar deal last year, and Cenovus has said that they're in no way associated with Modest Proposals, and that the company said that their safety measures worked to prevent any gas leak or any release of hydrogen fluoride during the explosion, and that they're making upgrades now as they're rebuilding the refinery to make it even safer by adding additional safety measures like water cannons and a water curtain and this piece of equipment that they're calling a rapid acid transfer system, which would transfer any of that chemical or acid to another holding tank if there were a release. And so they think they're taking all of the precautions to prevent this type of incident, but this group, disputes that. And they also claim to be part of a collaboration of Extinction Rebellion members and the Yes Men. The Extinction Rebellion calls itself a nonviolent civil disobedience group that is devoted to climate justice. The Yes Men is a prankster duo that was started by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno. And they've since grown to train other people to do this in what they call laftivism.
What divism? Say that again.
Laftivism. Like, they are using humor, as they say, to expose wrongdoing in their mind. Mm. And so this duo has infiltrated press conferences and destroyed brands by posing as these companies or as government officials. And they say that this is all an attempt to reveal the truth and then to portray things in a different light to get people to think about it more.
And do they think it works? I have to say they fooled me. I thought it was from Husky, and I did not pay that much attention to it because it didn't seem urgent. It seemed like, oh, they're announcing some community program. All right, I'll look at that at some point. And then, later in the day, I got the real word that, no, this is not them at all. But I would say it's rather sophisticated, as, we just heard a bit of a video that wasn't easy to make.
Right. I mean, they had, like you said, that video. They've sent out thousands of postcards. They also...
Okay, they got me to laugh there. Sorry. Yes.
Well, and they created, social media pages tied to this initiative. So, the group said that they use private fundraising to pay for all of this, although they wouldn't say how much or from whom or who was involved. So, I mean, I think it was a pretty sophisticated attempt to fool people. Superior resident Austin Yaden said that he thinks it could be seen both ways, positive and negative, because he thinks it's important to draw attention to safety, but he believes that the refinery is taking all the precautions necessary. Another resident I spoke with, Kay McKenzie, has concerns about that refinery starting back up and resuming operations next year, but she doesn't know if, you know, this attempt would have any effect because it seems a little late right now for them to change anything in the refining process.
All right. Well, back to more traditional, if not recurring, news. Six American Indian tribes have weighed in on the wolf hunt with letters to Wisconsin Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson. What did they say?
Yeah, six tribes sent a letter on Wednesday to Baldwin and Johnson in opposition to their legislation to delist the wolf in the Western Great Lakes region. And both Baldwin and Johnson have said that federal protections for the wolf should be removed in this area. And Baldwin has said that the science shows the wolf has recovered in the region. But tribes are disputing that fact, and they pointed to last year's February wolf hunt when hunters killed 218 wolves in less than 3 days. And that consumed the state licensed hunters' portion of the quota and the tribe's portion of the quota and then some. And so they argue that Wisconsin's current wolf management practices are inappropriate and that they're illegal. And they fear that if the state were to once again manage the wolves and hold another hunt, that wolves would be threatened as well as tribes' federal treaty rights. And the letter was signed by Bad River, Lacoute Array, Lac du Flambeau, Red Cliff, the Mole Lake, Sacagan Chippewa, and St. Croix Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, Rick, many of us are still in shock and definitely grieving over the tragic killing of the Berry family last week. There was a community-wide memorial service for them?
Yes, there was, on Sunday. A crowd of friends, family, and neighbors gathered for an evening vigil to remember and honor the memories of the Sean and Rihanna Berry family. Rihanna and Sean were found shot to death in their Duluth home Wednesday, April 20, along with their young daughters, Sadie and Shiway. At the address, the officers also found the body of Brandon Cole Skolstad, along with a 9mm handgun that police believe he used to kill his aunt, uncle, their children, and the family dog before turning the weapon on himself. While friends and neighbors are still reeling from the loss, they took time Sunday to recall the friendly and community-minded family gathering around the Berry's little free library, adorned with holiday lights and flowers. Vicki Danielson, Rihanna Berry's mother, made the four-hour drive from her home in Sunburg, Minnesota. She said Rihanna first met Sean at a bar in Anchorage, Alaska, while working for AmeriCorps, and he was working in the oil fields. They corresponded for a year before a 3,500-mile road trip in a VW bus cemented their relationship. Girl Scout leader Mary Hoffman said the Berry girls and their mother were key members of the local troop heading up the annual cookie drive. They were the kind of people, she said, that made the world a better place. The funeral for the Berry family will be held Sunday at Marshall School.
And again, our thoughts are with the family and all affected by the tragedy. There was a verdict in the case of the Duluth police officer who shot through an unopened door and wounded a man.
Duluth police officer Tyler Leibfried was found not guilty last week of two felony charges stemming from the shooting through the door of an apartment building in 2020. The 30-year-old police officer is believed to be the first area officer to stand trial for an on-duty shooting. He faced counts of second-degree assault and reckless discharge of a firearm that endangers the safety of others for shooting an unarmed man, Jared File, during a domestic disturbance call at the Kingsley Heights Apartments on September 12 of 2020. The jury of seven men and five women heard closing arguments and final instructions earlier in the day, and they ended up spending about 3 hours deliberating before reaching the unanimous verdict. Prosecutor Aaron Welch said in his closing argument that the officer made a choice to shoot at an unknown target, noting he did not act in a split second, but rather waited a full 10 seconds to respond to two banging noises caused by a hatchet used to close a stubborn door. He argued Leibfried could have waited longer, attempted to communicate with his partner, gave a warning to the man inside, or attempted to escape down the hallway. Defense attorney Paul Eng argued that it was unbelievable that his client was ever charged with a crime He said the risk of death or great bodily harm was apparent to everyone. Now, the Duluth Police Department placed Leibfried on leave after the shooting and later announced that he would remain off duty indefinitely due to a finding that he had violated the agency's use of force policy. Leibfried is said to be fighting to keep his job. Arbitration and unemployment claim hearings are both scheduled for the coming weeks. File testified during the trial and has retained a lawyer and acknowledged that he is planning to file a civil rights lawsuit against the city. So there are still several things in play here with this story.
Well, we've been speaking with Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And you can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of Sarah Kruger and Lanou. I'm Robin Washington, and as always, stay safe, everyone.
I like a man if he's good for something. Walk him to the edge, but don't give him nothing. But will he still come around, still come around, still come around?